state your correct name for the record.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
This is a special presentation
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at East River 9, here's Brian McDonald and Big Sarge.
Welcome to hour number two of the Killer Bees 2.0. I'm Big Sarge. That is B-Mac.
We got to laugh out of Joe. He hadn't heard that yet.
Oh, you hadn't heard that yet.
Brian O'Brien.
Yeah.
It's the Killer Bees. We're back.
With an I.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how you doing? I think I made Joe's day.
Broadcasting live right here at East River 9 at Birdie's Ice House.
Yep. Brian, another B.
Yeah. Oh,
hey, look at that.
It's us, man.
Yeah, it's us. It's us.
We need our own show or at least our own IG page, but that's another story for another time.
I'll let you run that.
Brian, we were talking about CJ Stroud and him, you know, not getting paid.
Not earning the contract.
Not getting paid just
because he didn't earn it.
He's earned it for MI. Because you pay for potential. You don't pay for the past. You don't pay for what you've done. You pay what we believe you're going to do.
Yeah, but you base what you think he's going to do on what he's done. And what he's done the last few years has not been top contract worthy.
Okay, so you said that quarterbacks, and you didn't say they shouldn't, but you just, you know, made the statement of about players getting paid based off of 1 year. And you said CJ shouldn't get paid based off of what he did in his first year, right?
I did say that, yeah.
So we're talking about the NFL top 100 earlier, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about the NFL top 100 earlier, and I said that CJ should be mad, and you said that he needs to be. Wait, say it again. I think he should be
more motivated by what the organization is telling him by not paying him.
Okay.
Than not being on the top 100 list.
All right. So with that being said, Brian.
Yes.
Can you read the four quarterbacks? Do you still have that up? Read the four quarterbacks.
The four quarterbacks on the list so far were Bryce Young at 98. Jordan Love at 72, Lamar Jackson at 69, and Trevor Lawrence at 62.
There we go. Bingo.
Okay.
What's Trevor Lawrence done to be on this list? And hold on, before you say that, you said quarterbacks shouldn't get paid based off of just 1 year. In June 13th, 2024, okay. The Jacksonville Jaguars extended Trevor Lawrence, gave him 5 years, $275 million contract with guaranteed $200 million, fully guaranteed at signing.
That was in summer of 24?
Yes, okay. $142 million. Please tell me what Trevor Lawrence has done in order to deserve that type of contract.
I won't. I would say that at the time that was a mistake. And he was on the list of, like, the Tua-type quarterbacks of quarterbacks who got paid where the teams probably felt some regret. Now, I will say Trevor Lawrence did play worthy of that contract last year. I thought he was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But he's certainly had a lot of up and downs and so on. I wouldn't feel great about paying top of the market. But just because the Jaguars paid a guy that maybe didn't deserve it top of the market doesn't mean, like, it's kind of like the old thing our parents all told us. If someone jumps off the bridge, does it mean you're going to too?
Right.
Like, just because the Dolphins threw dumb money at Tua, and at the time the Jaguars threw dumb money at Lawrence, doesn't mean the Texans should throw dumb money at Stroud.
So with that being said, that brings me back to my original point. That's why CJ should be upset, because you're looking at Trevor Lawrence's contract, and now you're looking at him popping up at number 62 on the top 100. And when I look at Trevor Lawrence,
it should be motivation. I get that.
I put it like this. Trevor Lawrence has underachieved so much in the NFL that I'm saying to myself, I don't understand. It's almost like Trevor Lawrence is getting paid off of what he did at Clemson.
I got to push back a little bit.
Hold on before you
okay,
do.
Okay, go ahead. My bad.
Week 18 of 20, CJ's second year. Week 18, they went into Indianapolis, right? A must win on the line.
His rookie year.
Yeah. He goes into Indianapolis. Week 18, primetime game.
Yep.
Must win. They got to win. If they win, they just secure a spot in the playoffs.
It was for the division. It was for the division.
It was for them to secure a playoff win, because Jacksonville, had to lose the next day to Tennessee
in order for them to win
the AFC South, right?
Okay, so, I'd forgotten about that part. I guess you're right. It was technically for a playoff, and then Jacksonville gave them the division. Okay.
And so I'd forgotten
that detail.
Right, and so with the game on the line, with the division on the line, with the playoff spot on the line, what did Trevor Lawrence do?
Probably threw a pick.
They lost the game.
Yeah, no. I struggle with that sort of argument, though, because just because another team did something doesn't mean you should do something. Like, I'm not even making a case for Lawrence, although I would argue after pulling up Lawrence's profile, like his second year, he threw for 4,100 yards, 25 touchdowns, 8 picks.
Mm-hmm.
That's arguably better than any season CJ's had.
What did CJ do for over 3,000 last year and, 19 touchdowns? What was his best year?
CJ's, what was his rookie year? I think he was 22 touchdowns, 5 picks. I could pull it up.
So, but with that being said, like, so you're telling me that
let me pull Lawrence's
CJ
page
missed
back
how
up
many
here.
Games last? Three
he
games.
Three
and a half
last year,
games.
Yeah. Because he went out around halftime against Denver, yeah.
Yeah, so you're telling me that if he would have played those games, his stats wouldn't have looked better? Like, his stats looked the way that they looked last season
the
also.
The totals would have looked better.
Because he missed time.
Percentages, quarterback rate
right?
doesn't necessarily change.
So then you go back and you talked about his first concussion, right? That was in against
rookie
the New York,
year.
The Jets, right? How many games did he miss?
He missed two.
He missed two games
yeah.
for that, right?
Yep.
So with that being said, like, if he plays those games, then you're looking at totally different. Just like I won't hold
five extra games on his career. Sure.
Yeah, I won't hold the games that Lawrence had 2 years ago because he was hurt, and then Aziz planted him, and then he went out for
yeah.
what the rest of the season.
I think so. Yeah.
So, I get that part, but I haven't seen. I've also seen. Has Trevor Lawrence ever advanced out of the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, because they got to face Justin Herbert.
Yeah, they came back on this, right?
Yeah, they got to face Justin Herbert.
So he got out at one time?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
How many times has CJ been out of the first round?
Three.
And how does
but
he not?
But again, just because, okay, if you want to make the case CJ greater sign Trevor Lawrence, that's fine. But that doesn't equate to Texans must pay CJ. I don't know if that's the case you're trying to make, but I don't see how that adds up to.
So what I'm making it, well, the point that I'm making is
okay.
they're paying Trevor Lawrence based off of what they think he's going to do now that he has Liam Cohen.
But they paid him before Liam Cohen.
Right, but they paid him on what? Potential. Not what he did in the past. They paid him on what they think that he's going to be able to do for the franchise.
For sure.
Justin Herbert, when he got extended, because his playoff record is terrible.
Yeah, 0 for 3.
Yeah, but he's getting paid because of what they think he can do for them in the future. So if Nick Caserio doesn't believe that CJ is the future and he doesn't want to pay him now, then I would suggest that Nick go back and have some revisionist history
cook,
because what happened after there was no Deshaun Watson?
Bad football.
Right. And yeah. so then you have CJ, you have good football. So you want to go back to that? Because
just
there's no way you're getting Arch Manning.
Well, no, I don't want Arch Manning anyway. That's a whole other conversation. But why are you looking at me like I'm crazy? Arch didn't play well. You're talking to a Longhorn fan. I watched every snap of Arch Manning.
I'm a Longhorn
okay.
fan, too.
All
so
right. Well,
once again,
go,
right. But you're talking about potential.
Sure. Arch just reads the defense incredibly slow. I do not think he translates to the NFL level as of now.
Right.
Well, I hope, as a Longhorn fan, I'm proven wrong on that. I'm lost at where. Oh, but like the potential thing. Like, I get what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. They're paying quarterbacks based upon what they think they can do, not what they've done. But what are you basing what they can do on? You're basing it on what you've seen, right? And the last 2 years of CJ have not been contract worthy. So, like, I'm struggling to see, even admitting that you're paying him on what he does in the future, I'm struggling to see what you're basing upon the potential of CJ, because it's been so long since we've seen it.
So,
like, I know he had the Niners game last year. That was great. And so, obviously they got to play the Ravens scrubs in week 4.
So what you're saying
but
is
it's been
that,
few and far between.
So what you're saying is CJ hasn't been consistent.
Yes.
Has Nick Caserio been consistent as far as building the offense? He is not. That's what I'm saying, Brian. They go hand in hand. And so Nick,
yeah, but
the only difference is Nick controls the money.
I can't remove that part, though.
But that's what I'm saying.
Those are separate conversations.
How is it separate, though? If I look, let me tell you this. If you if I own a construction business, right, and you work for me, and I wanted you to build me a house, but I only give you a hammer, a nail, and three pieces of wood, and say, I need you to build me a two-story house with five rooms, three-car garage, excuse me, three-and-a-half bath, a game room, an entertainment room. And
sounds like a sweet house.
Right.
Sounds like a sweet house.
Right. I need you to build me that, but I'm only going to give you a hammer, a nail, and three pieces of wood. Make it work, Brian.
And you're still the boss, right?
I'm still the boss.
Then it doesn't change anything. Like, either I do it or I don't. Like, I it may not be fair. Like, what you're describing isn't fair.
Because I haven't equipped you to build a house.
But that doesn't change the decision.
But look at
Nick Caserio is still the guy making the decision.
Right.
Even if what he's put CJ in, and I'm not even admitting that. But if what he's put CJ in isn't fair, it doesn't matter. That's still the situation he has to deal with.
But if I want you to build this house, Brian, if I tell you this is the house that I want you to build, and I'm in charge of getting you the proper equipment and necessary equipment and tools and material that you need to build this house.
Yeah.
If I'm not giving you the equipment and the material to build a two-story, five-bedroom, three-and-a-half bath.
We keep adding rooms every time.
If I'm not giving you the proper equipment, and then so I'm coming back every year and say, hey, Brian, why you at? I'm coming back every couple of days, Brian. Why the house looks like that?
Yeah.
And you keep saying, how am I supposed to build this with this? So now when it goes to Nick Caserio, Nick is in charge of the material. He's in charge of the equipment. He wants CJ to build this seven-bedroom. I don't, right?
We keep adding on the rooms.
He wants CJ to build this mansion.
This eight-bedroom.
But you're only giving him enough material to build. When you were little, did you used to build a fort?
Yeah, of course.
You're giving him stuff to build a fort. A blanket and three
pillow fort. Yeah, a pillow fort. But, I mean, okay. I mean, even if I agree with you that he's put CJ at an unfair situation, and you can certainly make the case of the offensive line, that's fair, but it still doesn't change
any offensive coordinator,
and you may be right on all of it. It's still Nick Caserio's decision, and he's decided that CJ's not worthy of it.
Well,
that doesn't make it fair, but it makes it what we're dealing with. Like, it's kind of the reality versus what it should be conversation.
Let me propose this question, Brian.
All right.
And first of all, I should have led the show off by saying this because this is my first opportunity to be able to, and I should have said this. Rest in peace, Janice McNair.
Yeah.
The matriarch of Houston Texans football. Let me make sure I say that. But, Brian, if the McNairs, Cal and Hannah, are sitting in – Cal has a wonderful office, by the way.
I bet he's got a sweet video game set up.
Oh, my – I didn't see the video game set up.
I bet his man cave was amazing.
I'm pretty sure, but his office? Oh, my God.
Oh, so you've been inside?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Describe it.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
It's big.
That's all you can say?
It's big and beautiful, man. I walked there. It's like, I think it's almost bigger than my apartment I live in. It's huge.
I bet it's bigger than some apartments I've lived in.
I think the table may have cost more than I probably made in my entire lifetime, but that's neither here nor there. But if him and Hannah are sitting at the desk and they're saying to themselves, all right, we have a decision to make.
First off, terrible Cal McNair impression.
Uh-huh.
First off, it's a terrible Cal. Okay.
Hey, man, Cal's my friend.
All right.
Like, I honestly and truly consider
him. Oh, first name basis.
He won't let me call him. He won't let me call him anything outside of Cal.
Yeah, that seems like him. Yeah.
I don't know.
He seems casual.
Well, I don't know what he does with everybody else. I'm just saying Cal and Hannah with me. Like, yeah, I'm flexing a little bit. Like,
all right.
It's a totally different game. For those two, when it comes to Sarge, it's totally different. I'll tell you about that one day. But with that being said, if they got to make this decision between CJ Stroud and Nick Caserio.
Caserio, easy.
Who's got to go?
I'd pick Caserio. I keep Caserio.
You'd keep Caserio?
Yeah. Look, I know he's missed big on the offensive line, but I would say 99% of the job he's done otherwise has been great.
When they hired Nick Caserio, he was a first-time general manager, right?
Yeah.
So, and we could say that he's done an adequate job, right?
Oh, that's unfair. He's done a great job.
I wouldn't say great. I would not say great.
I struggle to see how he hasn't.
His coaching hires, his first two coaching hires.
But do we know what
percent?
Yes,
we do.
You
we
feel,
do.
You feel 100% those are him, not D'Amico?
I said his coaching, his head coaching, Cully Anderson. Well,
now, I don't even count those.
How can you not? He was the general manager of that era.
Because they knew they were tanking. They weren't taking that hire seriously. You don't hire David Coley and think you're going to win. You don't. He was the passing game coordinator for a Chiefs team that had zero touchdowns to the wide receivers.
What are you tanking for?
For picks. Because you had to tear down from the Bill O'Brien era.
Okay, then. So you're tanking to get a what? If you're taking the 2 years, you know what's coming.
To get a quarterback.
In 2 years, what are you getting?
A quarterback.
So what did you get?
A quarterback.
Okay, then.
But is the quarterback good enough?
Yes.
See, that's where we disagree.
How can you disagree from looking at CJ and seeing that what he's done in his first 3 years? So with that, hold on. With that being said, though, is Nick Caserio not responsible for some of the picks? Kenyon Green. I like Kenyon, but
Green, the offensive line, there's no
Austin
defense
Deculus,
for it.
Patterson.
Well, Austin Deculus.
Juice Scruggs.
Okay, Scruggs, yes. I mean, Patterson was a sixth-round pick. No one takes sixth-round
picks. He still hasn't picked a center?
Factual.
So he has.
I'm not going to hold any GM accountable for the sixth-round pick.
Okay, well, name
really me. Not anything past the fourth round.
So outside of Ariante Ursary, what good offensive lineman has he drafted?
One position.
Blake Fisher?
No, I know. Yeah, he's been terrible at drafting offensive linemen, but let's do wide receivers. Let's do defensive backs. Let's do edge rushers.
Okay, so let's
do linebackers.
So let's do wide receivers. Nico Collins.
Third round pick, great.
Pro bowler, could have been an all pro if he doesn't get injured the last 2 years.
Yes.
All right. So
Tank Dell was a great pick.
After that, right? Tank Dell. But we haven't seen Tank Dell play football.
But because Tank Dell got hurt on an inline blocking play, and then the same route as him. That's not on Nick Caserio.
So he also brought in Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks had 2,000 yards.
Robert Woods.
Brandon Cooks had 2,000 yards.
He also had the other guy that was like really good at cooking. I can't think of his name.
I had to ask.
He has a cooking show, right?
All right. I don't know.
He also brought in Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, I mean. I thought we were talking about draft picks, but.
Well, I mean, all that goes. Okay, so we'll stick to draft picks. So after Tank, right? So after Nico, who did he draft?
Well, Tank, we mentioned.
Well, how long was it before they got Tank?
What do you mean? Nico was drafted two years before CJ, so 21. Right?
So who was drafted? Well, what wide receiver was drafted in 22? That was good.
I'd have to look at that class. I mean, obviously, that was the year they picked, the kid from Alabama that had cancer.
Oh, Mechie.
Yeah, John Mechie. Like, I mean, we don't know. Like, had John Mechie been able to play his rookie season, maybe things turned out differently. He was also coming off an ACL tear at Alabama. So that one I kind of throw away as a.
I just say
I don't
that
blame either side.
I will say that this contract extension has Nick Caserio and C.J. Stroud tied at the hip. Now, we're about to take a break, but when we come back, let's talk about the good parts of the Houston Texans real quick and how
Will Anderson?
How amnesia is going to play a vital part in the Houston Texans defense in 2026.
I'm intrigued.
For
amnesia.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, amnesia.
I look forward to that.
We're broadcasting live right here at East River 9 at Birdie's Ice House. It's the Killer Bees 2.0, the new and improved version. We'll be back.
You're back inside the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now back to Brian McDonald and Big Sarge.
When I hear your name, Brian, I just feel like I should go, hey, welcome back, guys.
Are you going to go Dave Chappelle, news reporter voice on me?
This is another edition of Killer Bees 2.0 at East River.
Well, I know you used to do the show with Daniel, so I feel like it should be a comfortable transition.
it should be. But once again, welcome back to the Killer Bees 2.0, broadcasting live at East River 9 at Birdie's Ice House. Are you okay? Do I need to get a COVID mask?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll direct the COVID the other way.
For sure, because I'm like, you are about to, as the old people say, hack up a lung.
No, I was sneezing. It's the opposite of hacking up a lung.
Hey, Brian, sticking with the Houston Texans, and we're talking about training camp, about the star. We just talked about C.J. Stroud.
Yep.
But I want to talk about the defensive side of the ball real quick. I had an opportunity.
No notes.
Right.
No notes.
You don't need nothing for that.
No
right?
notes.
But
I
had an opportunity to speak with Will Anderson Jr. on last week. I flew to Georgia. For the last 3 years, including this year, he throws a football camp in his hometown of Hampton, Georgia, right?
Okay.
He went to Dutchtown High School. And the funny part about it is the guy.
Man, how did the Bulldogs let him get out of state?
Hey, man. You know what? You know what's so crazy about it? I actually know the story.
Okay.
I can't share it.
All right. Tell me in the break. Tell me in the break.
But so at his high school, Dutchtown High School, which is really, really weird because the head coach, who is the youngest head coach to ever – the youngest person to ever become a head coach of a high school football team in the state of Georgia is his one of Will's best friend,
okay.
Kayvon. And he was his next-door neighbor. He was also – the person who almost made Will Anderson quit football because
really?
When they were younger. Yeah, Will always played two age groups up. So when he was 5, Kayvon was 7. And he was like 50 pounds heavier because Will started out as a running back. And so Kayvon has always played on the defensive side of the ball. So he used to knock the snot out of Will.
Yeah.
Make him cry all the time. All the time. Will just told that story to a young camper who was crying last week because he lost a rep. Will told that story in front of everybody, right? And so, but I was at Ed Will's camp, great camp, by the way, that he puts on with his foundation. But I asked Will a question, the same question that I asked cornerbacks coach Dino Vasso. I asked him about 2026, and he said, "Hey, man, we got to totally forget that. We got to lose. 2025 doesn't mean anything to us coming into 2026. Will's like, hey, we got to pretty much, and this isn't verbatim, but he's like, you know, we got to have amnesia. We can't think about that. We can't rest on our – everything has to be forgotten, and we got to come in with a new mindset. And I wrote an article about that on BigSargeMedia.com about you know, forgetting the accolades of 2025 and chasing the standards in 2026. And so my thing, though, Brian, and my question to you is, how do you improve on what they did last season? Like, I know that there are improvements to be made, but they added Reed Blankenship, and I felt like that's the only piece that they were missing on the defensive side of the ball. We know the interior part
of the
line. Yeah,
because they took the chance on Chauncey, and it didn't work out.
At all.
No. Only lasted, what, 3 weeks?
Yes. Should have lasted one, but that's another story for another time. On another show, we'll talk about that.
All right.
But, I mean, they bolstered the interior by drafting Caden McDonald.
Yep.
And so
my cousin.
But with that being said, Brian, so what are some of the improvements that you can see from the Houston Texans defense this year?
Well, I think the thing I'd most want to see from them, and I think Caden McDonald addresses a large one, is that interior run defense.
Okay.
Because at times, and part of it is they played so wide. I mean, Will Anderson and Hunter, they line up real wide.
Yeah.
And they were, at times, more so early in the season, like I saw. I remember Tampa did it to them in week two. A few other times teams did it to them. But they were able to beat with the inside. They were able to be beat with the inside run. But adding Caden McDonald, who isn't what I would call like the usual pick for D'Amico Ryans on the defensive line. He seems to like a little sleeker, you know, got more athletes more than, this sounds like an insult, more than sloppy run defenders, right?
But
but Caden McDonald's more of the sloppy run defender than the sleek athletes that D'Amico usually prefers. So I'd like to see an improvement there. They definitely addressed it. The other one was, and it killed them early in the season, I think pretty much single-handedly cost them the Tampa Bay game, was they struggled at times with allowing the quarterback to get out and make plays out of the pocket. Baker Mayfield, that long run, cost them the Tampa Bay game because Henry Toa came in, took a bad angle. Baker Mayfield got out of the pocket before he was injured, by the way. and was able to make a big play, and Tampa Bay won the game. So those would be, like, I mean, you're looking for really small things, because it was the second best scoring defense by, what, 0.1
yeah.
Seattle, because the Texans had everybody in the second half of Week 18. But those would be two areas where I think you could see some improvement.
I get it now. You're watching this little quarterback series on Netflix? That's actually, why you keep talking about Baker Mayfield.
I actually haven't started. I do love Baker, though. I'm a Baker fan.
Even when he was at OU, you're
no, I didn't like him then. No, this is pro Baker. This is pro quarterback.
You are
Baker.
Watching that Netflix series. That's what you keep saying.
I actually haven't watched it.
Baker Mayfield. You know what? Henry Toto is still like he's still.
I bet he's still mad about that
because what
he knows if he makes that tackle, they win the game.
What happened was
actually he didn't even have to make the tackle. He just had to keep Baker in front of him.
So what he told me was, because one of the things that I told him, well, what I asked him, that after that game, like the following week,
yeah,
when we got a chance to go in there and talk to him, I said, you came in too fast, didn't you? Because I went back and I watched, and
he did.
He's coming in, and he said.
Bad angle.
He said, Sarge, I watched that play at least 25 times, and every time I watch it, I ask myself, why am I coming in so hot? Why am I full speed ahead when
you
I know all
break
I had to
down
do?
Down and keep Baker in
yes.
front of him. Yeah.
Yes. And
he came in full speed.
He knew that he had, yeah. you know, that was. And, I mean, he know, that also cost him some snaps later on because you remember they started playing EJ Speed
That's
a lot
true.
More.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
After that, too.
That's
Henry,
true.
Henry lost some snaps due to that, but he was able to make that back up. You know, later on in the season, he played a whole lot better. But I like them getting Cade McDonald. I like that Sheldon Rankins is going to be able to teach him. But man, when I tell you that,
yeah, getting Rankins back should help the interior run defense too.
Tommy Togia.
Oh, I love Tommy Togia. He's got to be. I think he's got to fall in the fan favorite category, right? It's like it just
after that touchdown,
the big man touchdown,
and
yeah.
that was the end of the game, the end of the regular season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah,
but yeah. Tommy is going to make a huge
you think he starts?
Difference. Yes.
Okay. So they bring Caden along slowly.
Though. Yeah. Tommy has to
so
start.
Tommy and Sheldon Rankins are your starting interior.
Yeah, yes, for sure. And you look at it because. The way that Tommy played later on in the season, you know, especially when Tim Settle Jr. went out and he started getting more and more snaps and they started
that
to really see, they start to really see what Tommy could do. But Tommy is a Rod Wright guy. Like Rod Wright looks at him. Side note, you say you're UT.
Yeah.
You UT fan, man. I remember.
He was on the national title team.
Do you remember the touchdown that he scored against OU?
God, I don't.
That was in the Red River Classic.
Oh, don't call it the Red River Classic. It's a shootout, man. It's the Red River Shootout.
Well, didn't it used to be the Red River Classic?
Maybe. They might have switched it around. But if you should remember the shootout. It was the shootout.
Is the Red River
Well, now they call it the rivalry, but whatever. I still call it the shootout.
Hey, and side note, too, I don't know how much longer the Texans are going to be able to hold on to Rod Wright.
He's going to get a D.C. job somewhere?
If that defense runs it back, and plays the way that they played last year.
Especially how good that defensive line is. They're going to give him the credit.
It's going to be time. You can add all the titles to his name, but at some point, he's going to get an opportunity to become a defensive coordinator.
See that.
But with that being said, that's the only thing that I look at. I believe that that Reed Blankenship was the missing piece. And now I feel like that will open up. I feel like that will open up Kalen Bullock. To be able to roam. Like, Kalen is.
He's such a playmaker.
Yes, he a ball hawk, and he plays a lot off of instinct. You know, he used to play baseball.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
what position was he?
I can't remember. He may have been a center fielder.
That makes sense.
He may have been a.
That makes sense for safety, yeah.
But if you watch the way that he plays, he roams.
Range,
he roams like that. So now, knowing that he doesn't have to look and see. Okay, so who is this Miles Bryant playing next to me?
If he can trust the guy across from him is playing his assignment, then he's free to roam, yeah.
And you also get – and with Reed Blankenship, you get another run stopper, which is something that Kalen Bullock is still developing as being able to, because one of
his weak spot. Not a great tackler.
Right. But Reed Blankenship is.
Yeah.
So you shoot him down and you keep Kalen up at the top, and knowing, especially with the pressure, but that interior interior defensive part of that line, I think, and I'm looking at some combinations of maybe you see Tommy and Caden McDonald on the field together. Caden McDonald is one of the players that Will talked about highly because he sticks to Will like they're brothers. And Will was like, I finally got a guy. Because, you know, when he first came in, he was under Jonathan Grenard. And then after Jonathan Grenard left, it was Sheldon Rankins. And now Will is the guy who has a guy. And so I just look at it like that. And, Brad, while we're here, right, but before we take a break, I got to say this. If I had to say that there's one person on the Houston Texans defense that is highly, highly, highly disrespected, who would you think I would pick?
Disrespected or underrated? Are you looking at that the same way?
Both. I'm looking at it both.
Who would I say is underrated? Actually, I think it's a name that we just talked about, but Kalen Bullock, I would say, is underrated. I think he's got a chance to become a much more of a household name this season.
I do too. But for me, I don't understand why Kamari Lassiter doesn't get the respect that he deserves.
Yeah. He's probably not going to be on the top 100 list, although you definitely could argue he should be.
So not in the top 100. He gets disrespected every time somebody starts talking about accolades.
Because people know Stingley first.
Yes. And so imagine playing opposite of a two-time first-team All-Pro, right? Playing opposite of that. So you know what that means? Hey, man.
Everyone's coming at you.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And all he does is, what does he do? He makes plays. And I don't understand how he doesn't get more. And I understand there's a lot of cornerbacks that gets the accolade. That gets the praise. But look at what he does, man. Not only is he good in coverage, he's also good in stopping the run.
He's complete. He's a complete corner, for sure.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that if he hadn't sat out the in Week 18, I think he may have led the Texans in tackling.
I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. Well, I don't want my corner leading in tackles.
Well, if you're bringing them down like that to help support the run.
Yeah, but he was an outside corner, though.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. But he's not afraid
of
the smoke.
We had him on the show, I guess about, I don't know, a month ago, 2 months ago, promoting a softball game.
Yeah.
And I knew that the answer he was going to say, so I made sure to ask him, who was the hardest hitter on the team, and he quickly said himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's
a complete corner, for sure.
For sure, man. And so that, I just feel like he's one of the guys that's being disrespected a lot. But I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to training camp, looking forward to seeing the Houston Texans as a whole. I want to see if CJ is going to be able to take that next step against that defense. It ain't easy practicing against the number one defense in the NFL.
No.
It is not easy, so I
want
to see.
I'd want him to have that, though.
For sure. But when we come back, I'm going to tell you why LeBron James.
Oh, here we go. All right.
Is the GOAT.
Are we doing a Michael LeBron show?
I am not doing show. I'm just going to tell you why he's the greatest of all time.
Okay. All right.
Of this era. You're doing it to the Killer Bees 2.0 live at East River 9. Broadcasting from Birdie's Ice House. We'll be back.
You're back with Brian McDonald and Big Sarge
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at East River 9.
Hey, welcome back. You're tuning into the Killer Bees 2.0, broadcasting live at East River 9 from the Birdie's Ice House. Hey, unbeknownst to me, B-Mac, did you know that Colton was a huge Drake stan?
I ran to the restroom during the break here, and I came back, and all of a sudden I hear talk of someone's favorite artist is Drake. I was like, who working here?
You know
is
what?
His favorite artist is Drake. Apparently, it's the Aggie back in the studio.
You know what, Brian? If I'm not mistaken, I think that during the break I had the headphones on, and I kept hearing somebody say, "Shabang, shabang." Was that you, Colton?
It was me.
It wasn't me. Hey, speaking of people who are not Drake fans, LeBron James, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's a Kendrick guy.
Nah, not anymore. Yeah, I think he probably look. He
everybody but Colton is a Kendrick guy.
I think when LeBron was at that Kendrick pop out in L.A. that he did on Juneteenth 2 years
ago. Where they played that song like 4 times in a row?
Yeah, I think he was under his breath saying, you know, he didn't want to say it out loud. Russell didn't care.
No,
Westbrook just got on stage. DeMar DeRozan got on stage.
It was incredible.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It was the time. And it was Juneteenth, which made me feel a whole lot better. But, Brian, LeBron James is entering into his 24th season.
God, it makes me feel old.
Right.
I remember watching there was that one game the ESPN broadcasted of his high school.
Ooh. St. Mary's, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Irish.
I think the deal was, like, he was, because he had talked about how he'd gone, maybe this was years ago, maybe, I don't know if this still holds true or if he's changed his mind on it, but he said if he'd gone to college, he was going to go to Duke. And he missed out on having Dick Vitale call his game. So ESPN did a St. Vincent, St. Mary game with Dick Vitale on the call. Anyway, I remember watching that game. LeBron as a high schooler. I remember watching his debut game.
Diaper Dandy, baby.
Exactly. I remember watching his first ever game. I think he played the Kings.
Because he scored 25 points in his debut.
I didn't think it was that much, but he was good, but. Just hearing is like year 24 is like, damn, I'm old.
Right.
Anyway.
And think about it. Like, we're so
old. I don't even think Colton's 24. I think LeBron James has been in the NBA longer than Colton's been alive. Am I right, Colton? Oh, see?
Wow. That means I got clothes older than Colton. But with that being said, though, Brian, like, another thing you have to realize is that his son was his teammate.
Yeah, just that like alone. That alone makes you old, right?
Right. But so, Brian, I tease that, you know, LeBron James is the greatest of all time, especially in this era. And once again, I never ever get into an argument. I'm sorry, not argument, but I don't get into debates about who's the greatest, LeBron or
thank you.
Jordan.
There's no answer. That's just a waste
because
of time.
It's subjective.
Yeah.
Because I put it like this: every time I always say this, and people always get mad at me. I say, you got some people who are car guys. You got some people who are truck guys. You can't tell a truck guy that a car is better than a truck. And you can't tell a truck guy that, you know, and vice versa. Let me put it that way. So it's your preference in what you like, whatever you like. So if you like what Jordan brings, then Jordan is your GOAT. If you like what LeBron does, then LeBron is your GOAT. But I said he's the GOAT, especially of this era. Because we live in a social media-driven era right now, Brian.
True.
And what LeBron James has done is he has captured and dominated the market when it comes to attention.
So you're going at this as biggest star, not necessarily greatest accomplishment?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so,
which I think LeBron has both, but I wasn't sure where you're
yeah, he's
you're
my goat. He's my goat on and off the court. I will say that. I mean, he's one of those guys, you know, he has a squeaky clean, you know, depends on who you're talking to, background. But you look at him and you say to yourself, LeBron is the face of the NBA. Even in year 24 where he still isn't as dominant as he once was, he's still the face of the NBA.
Especially, did you see what Adam Silver said?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
Yeah, okay.
Like, if you got one guy who can control the NBA schedule,
yeah,
like that's a person who has a lot of power. That is the face of the NBA. When you got teams who are afraid to make commitments as far as trades or signing people because they're waiting to see where this one player is going to go. If they still have an opportunity, chance, Miami thinks they have a chance. Philly thinks that they have a chance. Golden State thinks that they have a chance. Now, I personally think that he should go to Washington.
That's not even on the board.
Well, it depends on if Anthony Davis comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just talking about, like, the odds I saw, I'll pull them up. There was 4 teams listed as a realistic the Warriors at 30. This was according to Polymarket.
Yeah.
Looked up this morning. Warriors 33%, Cavs 32.1, Heat 16%, 76ers 12.2, end of list.
So LeBron has set a there's like a tentative date, I think, of August the 6th.
God, why so long?
Because that's when Anthony Davis, I think, can ask for the Supermax. He can ask for a bigger contract from Washington. And if Washington gives him that, then they kind of jump ahead of a lot of people.
They brought in A.J. DeBond, so that would be enticing.
So you got A.J. there. You got Trey.
Yeah.
You got Trey.
Oh, I don't know, man. Trey is okay.
Well, I mean, so if you got – if LeBron is
if
on –
if he's the third wheel, though, then, yeah,
if
I
LeBron,
guess.
If he's on the floor with LeBron, he gets a lot of open shots. Ask Luke Kennard.
Yeah.
Ask Marcus Smart. Ask Luka Doncic. So
new rocket, Marcus Smart.
Right. Austin Reeves. So if he's on the court, that makes it a whole lot easier for your rookie superstar. That makes it a lot easier for Trae Young. It makes it a lot easier for Anthony Davis, who's played with him. And this is even with, you know, with him being 24 years into the league. And so LeBron, I like what LeBron is doing. I want him to hold the decision 2.0 for as long as he has. And I would love to have a decision all over again, like where he comes on national TV and he decides, because – it's left up to him. I'm tired of, and this is where I'm going. I'm tired of people crying and saying, hey, man, he got to make a decision because we're all waiting and he needs to make a decision. Why? It's his decision, not yours. You know what it sounds like, Brian?
You mad at Adam Silver?
No. It sounds like those Drake fans who was waiting on Kendrick Lamar and kept saying, no, you got to respond right now. You got to respond right now. You got to respond right now. And Kendrick was like, I'm going to respond in my own time. And when I do, you're not going to like it. But
no.
They kept saying, oh, he must be scared. He won't respond, right? And then he responded, right, Colton? But that's another story for another time. You'll get a segment one day. But LeBron, I'm tired of these media pundits. Like, they're going on these shows saying LeBron is selfish. They're saying LeBron is just an attention media person who just wants all the focus on him. But why not, Brian? He's one of the best players to ever play this game. Why doesn't he deserve to go out the way
he fight? Yeah, look, I mostly agree with you, but you don't find it annoying when people hold out for attention or attention just because they can?
Nope.
Really?
Uh-uh. You forgot who you talked to, Brian.
That's a good point.
I got my...
You got your name on your shirt. Who am I? I'm talking to the wrong audience.
Right. Look, yeah, Brian, I have a tattoo that says Sarge.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? That's on me.
Hey, man. Always be branding.
I didn't pull this audio just to keep it simple for the show today, but do you see the Keyshawn Johnson on All the Smoke?
I did not.
Okay, so he went on there. I thought he made an interesting point, because I've never begrudged players for playing as long as they can, because once you physically can't, it never comes back, right?
Right.
So play as long as you can. I do, though, mostly if he goes to the Warriors, because I think most of these teams on the list, which again is the Cavs, the Warriors, the Heat, and the Sixers, you can convince me three of those four teams could win a title with LeBron.
Wait, hold on. Say it again.
The Cavs, the Heat, the 76ers, and the Warriors. Those are the four teams that are listed on the odds board.
I disagree.
You think all four can?
I think that neither one of them can. But I'll
let
you
finish. There's four teams. What do you mean neither?
If LeBron,
none of them can?
No. And to be fair, I don't think he can win on the Wizards either. I don't think that it. That
I think he can.
But these teams, he would not win.
You know, actually, I would say two of the four. I don't think he can win on the Heat.
Who?
I think he can win a title with the Sixers, and I think he can win a title with the Cavs.
Nope.
I like those rosters a lot. I mean, they have multiple stars around them. It's not just one guy. But anyway, the point I was making.
Table that, though, because I want to come back
to
that.
The point I was making, like, if LeBron chooses a team where he clearly can't win a title, then I would side with where Keyshawn Johnson went with the conversation, which was, like, coming back for what? Like, what do you have left to prove? But because if you're coming back in a scenario where you're not picking the best chance you possibly can for title, because lost in all of this is the idea that for most of these teams, I think he's taking the mid-level, right? Like,
yes.
He's not, because the salary cap is dried up for most of these teams. So he's not taking the contract that we're used to the LeBron James getting. So he's not clearly not doing it for the money. Well, if you're not doing it for the money, and you're also not going to the team that gives you the best chance to win a title, what are you coming back for? Like Booker T says on the he's got his show on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, checks and championships. That's what it's all about. If you're not doing it for the check and you're not doing it for the championship, what are you coming back for?
You I'm waiting because I do not want to step on what you're saying.
Are
you waiting for me to respond?
Yes, please.
We started out this segment with me telling you that LeBron is the greatest of all time for what? For seeking and getting what?
Attention? That's you're coming back for attention?
It's his final year, bro. You don't think that LeBron wants to go into every – you don't think LeBron wants to go in every arena and them – do all these things, give him a motorcycle, give him a chair, raises, like put a banner
on. He's more of a diva than I thought he was.
Yeah, he is. He is. But they all are, Brian.
Sure.
Kobe was a diva.
Of course Kobe was a diva.
Michael Jordan was a diva.
Well, honestly, anyone who announces I'm retiring in a year so every city can congratulate them. Is a diva.
LeBron doesn't want to go out like
Miguel Cabrera did that.
Hey, you remember when Draymond Green screamed over to Paul Pierce, they don't love you like that, Paul.
Yeah,
they ain't giving you no farewell to.
Yeah, that's right.
All of this is for LeBron to have a farewell
It's just an ego farewell.
But he should have it, though. He should have it. He's the all-time leading scorer. He's been to multiple finals. He's won multiple finals. MVPs. All-NBA team. Like, Why wouldn't you? Like, his nickname is King James. Like, why wouldn't you want to?
I think self-gloss.
No, they gave him that. Yeah. They gave him that name so much that Nike bought Converse because of that. Converse had King James. Nike bought Converse for that.
No one wears Converse.
My wife had on some this morning, okay. And I have some, too. I love Converse.
Okay. Oh, you do? Yeah, okay.
I haven't
seen someone wear Converse in a long time.
But
are you wearing Converse right now?
No.
See, what are you talking about? You got on Nikes.
But who owns Converse? So it's kind of like I am.
All right, all right.
But with that being said, though, he's King James, and he has been on top of the NBA world for a very long time, and he deserves this. LeBron James deserves.
But if you're not coming back for a check and you're not coming back for a championship, what do you got left to prove?
Well, Brian,
what do you got left to prove?
How many greats?
Like you said, you're the all-time leading scorer. The only person in the world that someone will put over you in a GOAT conversation is Michael Jordan. What do you got to prove?
You have to prove because you also...
The only thing you can prove is if you go get another championship and get yourself even closer to Jordan. But if you're not coming back to a team that gives you the best chance to win, then what are we doing?
Brian?
It's checks and championships. Nothing else matters.
Let me tell you this. Because I want to get back to those four teams, but I also want to tell you why...
Oh, are we up against the break? Yeah, yes. We're up against the break.
I also want to tell you why... In this situation, Booker T is wrong.
How dare you, first off.
I would tell Booker
don't,
T.
Don't disrespect the two-time Hall of Famer.
Hey, he's wrong in this situation.
Six-time champion.
During his time, it was about checks and championships.
Called Booker T old?
Yes, because I'm old. But during his time, it was about checks and championships. But now, Brian, it's about something else. And on the other side of the break, I'll tell you what else comes with that attention.
All right.
You're tuning into the Killer Bees 2.0 live at East River 9 at Bernie's Ice House. Kaylin, make some noise. Woo!
She's not paying any attention to you.
Kaylin, I thought you were my friend.
She didn't hear you at all.
We'll be back.